year was 1856, and there was an artist from France named Auguste Bartholdi who was vacationing in Egypt. And he was really impressed with all of the pyramids, the Sphinx, all the ancient monuments he saw in Egypt. Well, there was another man from France who met Bartholdi there, and his name was Ferdinand de Lepsis. De Lepsis was an engineer, and he was proposing a canal that would be built that would connect the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Ocean so that ships wouldn't have to go all the way around the tip of Africa. It would save a lot of time. Well, Bartholdi was inspired by de Lepsis' plan to build this canal, and Bartholdi said, you know what? Wouldn't it be great if there was a lighthouse there at the entrance to the canal there at the Red Sea? But it shouldn't be just an ordinary lighthouse. It should be a work of art. It would be a symbol of Western civilization coming to the Middle East. I remember this was in 1856. Okay, so Bartholdi worked on this idea of this great lighthouse, this work of art, and he made clay models, and one after another, then he scrapped the model and made another, till he came up with a perfect design. But his lighthouse would be a robed lady standing taller than the Sphinx. In one hand, she would hold the Book of Justice, and in the other hand, she would hold a torch. Only one problem stood in the way then. Who would pay for it? Couldn't find anyone who would back him on this. No one was interested. So the Suez Canal was built with de Lepsis as the engineer for all this, but there was no lighthouse there. So, very depressed, Bartholdi went back to France. Well, the French government was wanting to give a gift to America, to the New World. And the French government sought him out. They chose his lighthouse to be the gift that they would give to the United States. And now that lighthouse stands in the New York Harbor, and we call it the Statue of Liberty. And it's become a symbol of liberty for over 100 years to all those who would seek freedom in our land. Now, when Robin read to us from the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, she read to us about a different type of liberty. Not a statue, but an event. It's an event that down through the centuries has represented the power of God in bringing liberty to his people. And it wasn't the statue that was standing on the shores of the Red Sea, but it was the image of thousands of people marching through walls of water that Paige has so wonderfully illustrated for us on the bulletin cover today. Now, before the parting of the Red Sea, Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. You know, the Egyptian army is breathing down their backs, but Moses says, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. I love that phrase from the 14th chapter of Exodus. You see those Egyptians? You're never going to see them again. It's a great story. It's a powerful telling of the mighty hand of God at work among his people. Well, I think how exciting it would have been to have stood there at the Red Sea and have seen the waters parted and people marching through. That would have been a great thing to have been there. But none of the Israelites at that time were all that excited about it. In fact, they'd rather be anywhere except where they were at that time. Because they turned to Moses and said, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to this desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? They're terrified. They're panicked. They're filled with fear. They want to be any place except where they are right now. And it's not hard to understand why. To get to the shore of the Red Sea, they had to go through a winding canyon. But there's only one way out of that winding canyon, and that's through the Red Sea. Now, the Egyptian army is right behind them, and they're going through that canyon also. So the Israelites are basically trapped. The Egyptians have swords and spears and chariots. They're famous for their ability to kill. So to the minds of the Israelites, it's only a matter of time until all of Israel is wiped out and slaughtered. There's no way out. So it's at this point that Moses says to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of God, which he's going to work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. You have only to keep your mouth shut. Fear not. Stand firm. Keep your mouth shut." You know, when your back is up against the wall and you run out of options, that's a lot easier said than done. When we're faced with situations we can't control, we do become afraid. We do become fearful. We get anxious. We get nervous. We want to change something, fix something. We want to be anywhere except where we are right now. You ever been there? Me too. But folks, not once does the Bible say, "Worry about it, stress over it, or figure it out." But over and over again, it clearly says, "Trust God." But why shouldn't I worry? Why shouldn't I be anxious? I mean, I'm in a terrible place. I don't think I'll ever get out of this problem. I've got a reason to be anxious. What's wrong with that? Well, first, what's wrong with it is that you can't change anything by worry. In fact, Jesus says to us, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to their life?" Worrying can't fix anything. It just robs us of peace and time and strength. Second thing that's wrong with that is that worrying blinds us to the one who can fix the problem, or at least help us get through the problem. There's a powerful passage in Scripture that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The valley of the shadow of death. You know, that's where Israel found itself at the Red Sea. It was a very real place of death. The Egyptian army was right behind them. And you know what God's answer to them was? The valley of the shadow of death. "I am with you. Fear not." One of my favorite passages about this is in Philippians 4, where Paul says, "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God." But why shouldn't I be anxious about anything? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is near. He'll never leave you or forsake you. All we need to do is realize that He is there, and He's not going anywhere. So first, worrying can't cannot fix anything. The second, worry blinds us to the one who can fix the problem, or at least help us through the problem. And the third thing that's wrong with this is that fear is often based on wanting what I want. The Israelites wanted out of Egypt. They had good reason to want out of Egypt. It was a place of slavery, a place of heartache, a place of despair. God sent them Moses, who led them out of their slavery. They'd seen the power of God in these plagues that we talked about in the children's sermon. God sent upon the Egyptians. They had seen that pillar of cloud by day leading them to the Red Sea, the pillar of fire by night leading them. But now they've come to the edge of the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is closing in. They have second thoughts. They begin to think, you know, life in Egypt really wasn't all that bad. We were slaves, yeah. But at least they weren't going to kill us. Well, that becomes a repeated theme for them as they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, they don't get what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. Then they begin to pine for the good old days back in Egypt where we had fish to eat, we had melons, we had cucumbers, we had garlic, we had all these great things. And here in the desert, all we got is manna. And the result was they're always anxious, they're fearful, they're afraid. You see this in their 40 years of wandering in the desert. The only way for you and me to deal with fear is begin to think like Jesus thought. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. Learn to say, God, I want what you want for my life. Because if I got what I thought I wanted, then I might end up really being unhappy, because that really wasn't the best thing for me. So God, give me what you want for my life. And then stand still, wait upon the Lord, and watch and see what he does. Moses tells the Israelites, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The story of the parting of the Red Sea has spoken to God's people in many ways down through the centuries. The mess that Israel found itself in became their message. The test that they were given becomes their testimony, especially in the book of Psalms. Their trials become their triumph. But because of the power of God, those who had been victims in Egypt have been given victory over their enemies. And the thing that made the difference for Israel wasn't the strength in their numbers or their military might. In fact, the Israelites really did nothing to destroy the Egyptian army, except to follow their God. And folks, the Lord is still God. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you won't have to be anxious or fearful either, because he's right there